Yeah, I know. It's just funny. Some people will be
I
like,
know.
you know, they don't want to talk. But I guess, let's see, today's date is December 22nd, 1988. 1988? 1998.
98, yeah.
10 years' time. So we'll just start out, just state your name and where we are today.
My name is no.
Right,
my name is
moving.
My name is Glenn Leverage, and what do you want me to
say? I guess just your, where you are.
Okay.
About yourself,
my name is Glenn Leverage, and I'm the executive vice president of Bank Press Group. Mm-hmm. Kentucky native, grew up in Jackson, Kentucky, in Breathitt County, and. Went to Jackson City High School, went to Morehead State University, and graduated from Morehead in 1970.
Okay.
Started in banking in 1970, and been in it almost 28 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is, especially with the way the mergers and stuff are going now.
Okay, and I guess, now when did you become a board member at the Heinemann Settlement School?
Mike Mullins and I were in the Leadership Kentucky class of 1986.
So I guess we start with that. I guess how you kind of met my dad.
Yeah.
Just finding out about the
school. Well, first of all, growing up in Jackson, Kentucky, I always had heard of Heinemann Settlement School. I played my last high school basketball game against Carr Creek at the Heinemann School, the Heinemann High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I always knew the Settlement School was there because we always went to my grandparents' house in Heinemann, Kentucky, just outside between Jenkins and Whitesburg.
Mm-hmm.
So we always drove through Heinemann, and it just so happens we always stopped, it was halfway between, to get a Coke or soft drink and potato chips or something. So I always knew where the Heinemann Settlement School was, being from Eastern Kentucky. And then really beyond the scope of just knowing where the school was, I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Until 1986, the Leadership Kentucky class, which was the second class, Leadership Kentucky began in 1985. 50 members in that class from all across Kentucky, and Mike Mullins and I were in the same class.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had a great affinity for my home in Eastern Kentucky, but we went to Paducah, we went to Northern Kentucky, but we also went to Hazard, Kentucky. And we stayed at La Citadel, and we went up early for one day to go down to the deep mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was really great for me to, number one, go home, because I was born in Leatherwood in a coal camp.
Yeah.
So one of 50 classmates, here I am going back to Eastern Kentucky. But I got a chance to watch 49 other classmates, maybe three or four others who had some tie to Eastern Kentucky. And maybe I looked the same way they did when I went to Boone County, or when I went to Paducah, or when I went to Owensboro. But it was amazing to watch them slowly integrate into Eastern Kentucky on a Thursday, a Thursday afternoon, and a Friday. And then we went back and we cleaned up, because Mike Mullins was going to host our entire group at the Heinemann Settlement School. It also was the same time as the Folk Week. Is that it? In June?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so here we
okay.
go in a bus over to Heinemann Settlement School. And I was touched. And I saw people from Louisville, Paducah. The campus was beautiful. The food was great. We saw clogging. We saw butt dancing. We saw music. And I don't know, I just watching these 45 other people who had never been there
mm-hmm.
gain their real sense of appreciation for what they were experiencing really made my root system, Eastern Kentucky, feel great. So then we continue our class. In 1987, Mike Mullins called and asked me if I would consider coming on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I said yes. And I met with him for lunch, and he discussed with me the role of the board member. And I guess I've been on the board now for almost 12 years.
Yeah.
So I've been on the board actively as a board member since 87.
Mm-hmm.
Selfishly, I was overboarded at the time Mike
yeah.
asked me with local things as right. a bank president here in Lexington.
Oh, yeah,
but I really wanted some more, I wanted another tie-in to my home area.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what better opportunity than Heinemann Settlement School? Plus, I wanted to learn more about the school.
Okay. That's an interesting way to kind of find out
about
amazing? It, you know, because everybody that's on the board, of course, finds out about it in a different way.
In a different
maybe.
Way.
But it seems like everybody has some sort of tie.
That's
going
true.
Back there, you know, even if they never even lived in Eastern Kentucky, they've
That's
got
right.
something, some sort of tie they know about. So I just thought that was a neat way to find out about
But
it.
I only knew, the closer I got to the school, the more I realized, to me, driving by it, it was the Hyman Selma School. Literally, I grew up in Jackson, Kentucky, and didn't know a thing about the school.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of understandable, too.
Yeah.
That was...
Of course, that was 35
right.
years ago, and
yeah.
I graduated from high school in 66, so...
Right.
And I, Mike and I are the same age, and we are close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so after you came on the board and started coming to the meetings and really being involved in what was going on there, I guess just from your perspective of being that position, what do you feel are the most important aspects of the school? Maybe to our community or just the services they provide, seeing that from a person that helps make these decisions that's, you know, in kind of a leadership role
yeah,
at the
okay.
school.
And again, I've been on the board for 12 years, and one of the things that my personality, if I'm going to be involved in something, I'm going to be involved.
Right.
But like I say, I learned a lot more about the school. I found a school that had a very strong foundation root system. Solomon Everidge, all these books have been written, and the people who really felt a strong need for the school.
Mm-hmm.
I found a school that was strong to its mission, and I found a school that had that everything it did was reflective of the mission. And I found a school that was going beyond the boundaries of being a resource center for people in Eastern Kentucky, such as the dyslexia program, such as the writers' conference, such as the folk week, such as selling crafts. Just the library, the Knott County Library. I mean, Hyman Selma School is the driving force behind that. So I saw a school that was open and responsive to the needs of the community, but yet not closing its doors or drawing boundaries as to what its total constituency base might be. You follow me?
Yeah.
Because a lot of what we deal with now could be outside the, you know, the bounds of what we really
right.
are chartered and missioned to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the dyslexia, I mean, I go to 2 board meetings a year up there. I'm on the executive committee, so I meet a lot. But I have never driven back from Hyman that I wasn't touched. I couldn't wait to take my wife there last year
mm-hmm.
because, we do all the business, and right now I'm finance and I'm in charge of the development. But when you put all that aside, my favorite part of the board meeting is the programming. And when I hear all those program reports from the crafts, from the library, adult education,
mm-hmm.
4-H, Phelps, I mean, I'm always touched. I mean, we have emotions there. And when you see the deep appreciation for what people really gain as a result of the school, it makes you feel good. And it's hard to bring that back without losing in translation.
Right.
Because for 4 or 5 years, I kept telling my wife, so I took her last year.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Graves and I took our wives
right.
out. And we spent the night. And we sat in the rocking chair. And we watched the sunset. And then the next day, when my wife, who really has an affinity for helping and seeing kids being helped and really appreciates education. I mean, you get very emotional when you see just what the school is doing. And when you're a part of that, to whatever degree, you get a little piece of that yourself. It makes
yeah.
you feel good.
That is true. Of course, I've been there my whole life. And so it's, like, I told somebody it would be impossible for me to sit down and describe things, and here I am
yeah.
asking everybody to answer my questions. But
you probably things that not that you'd ever take for granted, but it's amazing
right.
when you collectively put everything in perspective
mm-hmm.
that people
yeah.
feel for that school.
That's definitely true, and that's what's so interesting talking to students and then doing this part where I'm talking to board members, because you are part of the school. You're a part of the school, every single board member is, but in a different way. And that's why it's so
true.
Interesting, because, like I said, you help with this development, where it's going, where it's been. And, I mean, I've talked to some board members who've been on there for, 30 years and things like that. So
they can give the perspective of the change and things like that. And you've been in it for 12 years now. What are some things that, I guess, what are some things as we're going into another century, new ideas, new projects, what do you think is going to be essential to keep the Seminole School going? To keep, whether it be different programs or keeping things the way they are, what do you think is going to be essential to the Hyman Settlement School as we move into the year 2000?
Well, I think we need to constantly, I mentioned about the mission, we need to always do everything that's reflective of the mission and not get too caught away as to doing some things that we really shouldn't be doing. And I don't know what those might be. But as long as I'm with the board, I'm going to always vote to stay in tune to program. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things that build up on the program. We started a project known as Debbie's Kitchen. Debbie used to work there as the cook. Now look what we have there. That beautiful facility and the loading dock and they're being able to get access to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the food at Hyman Settlement School is out of this world.
Oh, yeah.
But that, well, you may say, well, is that part of program? Well, yes, it is. I mean, it fosters and drives a lot of that program content. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be challenged, too, on the development side. It's what we're calling institutional advancement. And what we're trying to do is put a program together to coincide with the school's, is it its 100th birthday?
Mm-hmm.
In year 2001.
Two.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is lay the foundation for a completely defined development / institutional advancement / giving program.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be very broad-based. We want a very broad-based constituency, much like the area which we serve. But we feel like if we can gain the steam and get the foundation laid, we can identify a lot of opportunities for program. Now, beyond program, you know, we're going to take a good strong look at that, but we've held hands as a committee and really guided ourselves to be truly defined to evaluating our current programs and enhancing the programs with which we have and also looking at other opportunities.
Mm.
Now, there's some things that are getting ready to happen in Hyman
Oh, yeah.
that will help us. You know, we want to continue the library, but that's a strain on us to provide,
mm-hmm.
you know, library services for all of Knott County. So if we can tie in the community college, if we can utilize the opportunity which we have to be Hyman to be a model city and still keep our, I think if we do that right and join hands, we will be able to do left with to do what we do best. And that will be reflective of the mission of the school and
mm-hmm.
programming, especially dyslexia and adult education. And
yeah, that's interesting, too, talking about the 100th anniversary. Because, that's a long time. You've got a lot of schools maybe that developed around the same time, but there's not many left, you know, not like that. What do you think about that, thinking about, we're getting ready for the 100th anniversary of the Hyman Settlement School. What are your thoughts on that?
Same thing I do here at the bank each day. You're coming up into an environment, Cassie. Just this year alone, I've given one 30-year award, service award. Every month we have a breakfast and we do birthdays and service awards. Just within the past year, I've given them 130, a couple 20s, maybe 125, two or three 10s. And you just, you know, young people coming today, they're supposed to change their jobs 5 or 7 times in their career.
Mm-hmm.
I came in an environment where you were rewarded by staying for a long period of time. For the Hyman Settlement School to have been there 100 years is not only reflective of the need, but proper management, proper fiscal responsibility. I mean, Mike himself he's 25 years or pushing 20-something.
This will be 22.
22 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, if that isn't dedication to that, Mike, you know, I mean, with his intelligence and his network of people he knows and his ability to network and just his enthusiasm and drive, I mean, he's made a lot of sacrifices to continue to be a part of that school because he believes in that school.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes across in just day-to-day work with him. And I mean, he's pushed himself that I've even worried about his health. You know, and I pushed him and to get physicals and stay on top of everything. But 100 years says a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now to me personally, a lot of people don't pay that much attention, but I think those people who are involved in our school certainly do.
Yeah. In terms of, you were talking about earlier, I'm just kind of going back to mm-hmm. some things, I know I'm jumping around. about the staff, you said that you have always been moved when you come to the meetings to see the people that work there. What are your impressions of the staff, the people that work there that sit around those tables with you? I know that you probably, I mean, you don't know them on a personal level, but you know the work that they do based on the reports they're given and the meetings that you have. What, I mean, what's your impression of these people?
I'm really impressed with their commitment to the school, and they truly believe in what they're doing, and they truly have a passion for it. And I've told Mike, and sometimes it's very difficult, our board meetings, we try to get so much into a small period of time, and Mike is so respectful of everyone's time because we all come from different places. But I say, Mike, please don't cut their reports. I mean, we applaud after every report, and they're very professional. They're very well educated and trained in terms of what they're doing. They truly have a passion for what they're doing. But what I like about it, as professional as they are and what they're drawing to their line of responsibility at school, they're not tied just to that. They assist and help others. The adult education, I can't remember her name. Not only does she do that, but she helps set the table for lunches and when we're there. And Miss Titsworth, what a great job she does. The Mennonite program. I mean, to watch, I forgot her name, make her presentation for the library, and her husband does all kinds of cooking and cleaning and maintenance and wiring and technology. The Mennonites, I mean, these, you know, everybody there truly has a feel for it. But when we sit at that rectangle table, and then behind me there, you've got three rows of dedicated staff people who really are truly professional and truly have a passion for the school, beyond the scope of just being a job.
Right.
I mean, when they make their reports, they get emotional. When they talk about someone who's learning to read for the first time, and they see the joy in that person's eyes and that person go back, I mean, that's very touching to me.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, it's obvious just from talking to you, and it has been talking to pretty much everyone that's been on the board, that's something that they like to do, because it is a service. It's a huge sacrifice of your time and your abilities, and I mean, to come from Lexington, to go to Hindman, to go to these meetings. What makes you do this? What makes you say, what makes you, you know, pencil in every November and May, I'm going to go to Hindman and go to these meetings, or let Mike Mullins barge my office whenever he wants?
I tell you, what
makes you do that?
Well, it's really interesting. But, and I tell Mike, I give him a tough time, because the May meeting always coincides with the Derby.
I know.
And I have to, I'm required to do a lot of entertaining. And then my anniversary is November the 8th, and it's always right around the 8th.
So you Mike, came on your anniversary one.
Yeah, I don't have a prayer. Mike always gets me either with the Derby or anniversary. You know, I don't know. I don't think of it that way. And again, I used a term selfishly. I give a lot of my time, and I am giving resources, and I continue to give more money as I have opportunity to the school. But I wanted to keep some ties close to Eastern Kentucky. Plus, I wanted to give back to Eastern Kentucky, the community. Little did I know that when I joined, I'd be as involved in the school as I am, because I truly believe and I love what it's doing. It helps me on a Friday afternoon, selfishly. It gets me out of the bank, and I lock my doors, and I love driving home. And I stop at Jackson. At the Hardee's, and all those guys who know my dad, I just go in and get a Coke. It feels good to go to Hindman, and I check in at the lodge. I go down for dinner, and we have, and I'm always in a leadership role, so I've got to do a meeting that night.
Right.
I enjoy sitting in the rocking chair and having breakfast that morning, and it selfishly for me, Cassie, it helps me. I'm a better person when I drive back on Saturday afternoon and come home for the weekend. It's like Mike and I have talked. My weeks are much better when I go to church on Sunday and Sunday night. It's kind of like an Orelco charger, your razor. I have to be plugged in. And please, even though those are the two board meetings, Mike and I talk 2-3 times a month.
Right.
I host luncheons here. The development committee meets here. Your brother, we had a lunch at Henry Clay's home. And so in addition to my giving of my time, and I think I do provide some leadership in different capacities, and I am a financial contributor to the school, I seek opportunities to host events for Mike. The kickoff of the of the kitchen. Right. We hosted that in a reception here, mm-hmm. and we picked up a commitment for $14,000. Now that thing cost $500,000, but right. that $14,000 was the seed money. I really don't think about it, and I honestly don't dread it. I look forward to going. Except Mike, he kills me. It does compete with the Derby and my anniversary.
That's pretty bad.
But those are the two things I have to worry about.
Well, then, is there anything? I'm just kind of asking you general things and trying to get a sense of this. Is there anything maybe I've left out?
No, I think we've covered a lot.
Talking?
Not really. Just that I really see it as a challenge to spread the word about the school, mm-hmm. and whatever ways that we can do that, I want to be a part of it, and I truly believe in it, and I just want to be a contributing board member. And any resources I can allocate personally or under this bank, you know, mm-hmm. with the investment side, and anything we can do, I try to provide with Mike.